This is an interview with Luther Sewell for the Oral History Project by Olivia Reynoso at 957 West Clio Street on May 1st at 3:30 p.m. Okay, the first question I'd like to ask you is that, where were you born?
I was born here in Santa Barbara.
Are you from here?
Adelaide.
Oh, yes, okay. And what area in Santa Barbara did you live in?
I was born in the West Side.
Was that considered the body on the
earth? No, I was born in Anglican side, or less, because when I was born in the West Side, there was only about 2 Mexican families, so we used to the West Side, except they used to come from 3 feet to the West Side and 3 feet to the East Side. And all the way from grammar school to junior high, was a few Mexican people to come as grammar school. So, that's where I was born, mostly got after.
Okay. Was the, when you were growing up as a youth, was your body, did it encompass the same area that it encompasses now?
No.
Has it enlarged? The boundaries in our geographical area?
You mean if it's,
It was the same area that was a body up when you were growing up, say, 400 feet around there with a body up.
Yeah, I think the first days was a body up. But it isn't now, the east side.
Do you think there is a body in Santa Barbara?
Not the big extent as it was. There is, really. Yeah, there is. And not as big as it was before. But, as far as the conditions of the people, I think the conditions are still there.
Were the roots kind of used when you were growing up?
Oh, yeah, I think the roots kind of used. I get it all the way back, maybe to the early 20s, all the way back to the roots kind of.
What meaning did it have back then?
Well, it had the meaning that the guy was born here.
Okay.
And we all use it in the lobbyists and everywhere, in Texas, different states. We use it in every place in California. So
was it a positive thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I heard you talk to somebody who says Chicano, you wouldn't say, he's in Mexico, and between our cousins, say Chicano.
Mm-hmm. Was there any kind of movement, Chicano movement going on?
No, I think there was movement, but not as far as Chicano movement as is known today. There was Mexican movement. There was a Mexican American movement, there was Mexican movement.
What about the young people? Is there anything?
I think the young people were. We dug against the young people because I was going to school. Conditions haven't changed with us from that time.
Okay. Were there any gangs in Santa Barbara?
Oh, yeah. I think we all had gangs. I think everybody did, whether it was from the west side or the east side. Of course, in the early 30s, because there was a few questions I was,
involved
quite a bit in it, because I was a lot younger. But I think that the kind of a particular. A guy rebelling against the Galatians, rebelling against his own family. I figured that, I think a particular was an American thing,
Do you feel that it was a culture of itself?
I think so, definitely, because they had their own language, their own style of dress, everything. It was their own culture. And I think it really was a style of Chicano movement. I was excited to kind of move it, even though it wasn't called the kind of movement or whatever, but I think it was. And definitely, because I know a lot of people say it isn't, but it is.
Do you feel the young people back in the game knew their identity? As the youth, they were trying to find. You know how that, by getting involved in the movement, I think a lot of youth, they were trying to find their identity. Do you feel that that took on the movement identity?
I don't know if he knew it.
What he was.
I think at that time, I think he wanted to be, I don't know, he didn't have a credit here. I think he wanted to be in Chicano. I think that's the real idea.
Mm-hmm.
or anything else. That's identity, I think that's it. But, like when I was, like I said, I was raised nothing but a lot, you know, and I could see the prejudice then, that's today, you know. But I think that in those days, those young kids rebelled against the anger of society, and still, like I said, they rebelled against our own families. We were trying to be different, I guess. We dressed different, and we lived different. So I think it's kind of moving really the same way. But the kids nowadays are that way. They're different. They're really different from being just next to them. But I think, to me, as I always say, a Chicano can be a new person. We can be, if we can create a new person to Chicano, which I think we're doing, or even create a monster, no?
Mm-hmm.
But I think from the Chicano being that it's easier and the space has been used for a long time, I think what you can get out of the Mexican culture, you get out of the American culture, I think the guy could be fantastic. And I think he is, the young person of today, the one that calls himself Chicano.
But, do you think that you're going to
progress
in it?
Yeah.
In this community? This is a lot of unique communities.
Yeah. I think the Chicano has made the change, and I think it's improved. I don't think the Mexican American, as we call him, or the Mexican has done anything. I think that's been the Chicano that has made the change, and made the improvement. And maybe awareness to these people that they call the Mexican American or that. So Chicano, I think Chicano has really made them aware. Because no matter what it seems to be for our people, whether they're from Mexico, whether they're born here, or for young guys, the Chicano is doing it simply.
Mm-hmm.
For both people.
Uh-huh. What other things are you getting involved in activities in the community?
I was involved about 3.5 years ago.
Could you tell me some of that
things that you've done? Well, I belong to several organizations. I used to belong to the GI Forum. I used to belong to the ANVIC. I used to belong to the American Legion, the Mexican organization, the GI Forum. But there was an organization started by a Mexican guy who was just coming over in Texas, an army guy, a soldier. And the club was basically, you know, to fight discrimination. But most people got it and turned it into a social club, you know. And I was always looking for organizations or a movement like we have now to get into that really would make changes for our people. And when the Chicano movement came, I got 2.5 to move. And I've seen, you know, staff together like the Brown Berets, I got a lot of awareness out of them, and different Chicano organizations and that stuff.
What are you asking about?
I was saying with the Bombays, a lot of good things they've done with awareness. I think they are the ones that, of everybody, that did the awareness in this town.
Okay.
But that's when I started, everybody was working together. The Met time.
Hey, did you come out there?
Yeah, but I can't talk to you.
Come on, take it on, baby.
But I go back to seeing, I admire the kids, the young students in Met time. And the university, because we're both very excited, and they're the only going to help the people.
Tell us some of the organizations made up of older members of the community, like the UNC, what do you feel for culture groups?
Yeah! I'll tell you the truth, I'm going to discuss with some of the old people. These are the people that at the Civic Americana, they're good people, I know a lot of them, they're good people. But in the same token, they can't see, They can't see how bad off we are people really are. And to answer, I think it's telling the young people, let's say my age, that they can't see the bad people and the bad people, how we how we need to make a way that people like can do stuff in two things, politically, socially, and they can't see it. And I think, and that's why the young people is making them aware that if we could, if we go into organizations like the Cigarette Americana or the GSA, would work with a lot of these students like the Finette Fire, they try to understand the boundary sections of this. Parts of it that are working with the community. And as they start to understand the young, the changes that have to be made, it's really be fantastic to realize a lot of power. But as of now, I've been discussing with you guys, talked to a lot of older people, and they just don't see us how bad off we are. I think we're really in a, so we're like a man of shit, man. We just, we're off in bad shape in this country. And we don't start to see it. The old people don't want to see it.
How do you feel about Hispanics having their own political party, La Raza Universal? Do you think that there's any benefit to that?
I think, I always say that actually the Republican and Democratic Party can be a useful. So let me start relating to the people. When I say people, I mean the Mexican people. As a Russian leader party is probably good, but I don't think in the near future, I think it's going to need a lot of work, and I don't think it'll, I don't know, I used to say how it'll go. But, you know, whether it's, if a Democrat, and if he works enough for his people, he's still going to do the job. Whether he's Republican, he's still going to do the job, because there's a hell of a lot of need. So if he's in that Russian leader party, it's going to be wonderful if they get all the people together. But as of now, it's a very long project, I think.
I think you feel it's more the man than the party that makes the changes?
I think so. I think it is. I think it's more the man.
Okay, stop it. Okay, next I'd like to ask you about bilingual education. Do you have any special duties towards bilingual education?
Yeah, I think bilingual education is really important, and I think of course, like I always say, the only people that are going to help our people are Hispanics, and Hispanics are the only ones that can help themselves. So when we talk about bilingual education, I think for the young kids, for me, that's what we do, that to me is really the important, is the children, the Hispanic children. I mean, he's the most important one of the whole thing, whatever we do. And I think that if we could train him, of course, we have to have our own teachers, I believe, but that again, it's not the years before we have our own final teachers to teach our own kids. But if we can teach the young kids, the bilingual education while they're young, in the 6th grade level, all the way to 6th grade, it seems while we can have our kids, a good teacher for our kids from the 6th grade level to the 6th grade, is the most important because after they get to the junior high, we lost them. They get to the high school, we lost them. So I think what we need is teachers today. I think if more effort is put on to get young students that are in university now to become bilingual teachers at the grammar school level, then the teacher will come with the best top kids in this country. But this is one thing I see that it's not supposed to say. I think most people that go to universities, they end up teaching the university, they go to the colleges. But I think if more money is going, there should be more money for grammar school teachers. I think to me they're more important than the professors or the city college teachers, because, like I say, we lose our kids from the grammar school. The 6th grade, after that, we lost them. And that, to me, is the most important. And bilingual could be taught them. Because if a kid learns good languages, but it's small, he got no problem. If he try to teach his Chicano from here, he's still going to English and try to teach his Spanish and he's going to City College, you're not going to throw it out the window because he ain't going to learn.
What's the benefit of a child
knowing
two languages?
Yeah, I think it's useful because, especially in the southwest of the United States, a lot of it is spoken here. A lot of it is, we have the Mexican border today. A lot of people come in. That's needed in a lot of businesses and hospitals and educational institutions. People, deal with Mexican people. And I think I know when my parents were alive, they had the problem of going to different places and it could be understood in kind of the education. So we train the young kids to be those
when he grows up, he'll be a better person.
Do you think it would help if he got a closer to his culture, so maybe he never saw if he was born here?
Definitely, because I believe that the Ghana movement has done, that has, whether people get to me or not, the Ghana movement has brought back some of the culture of the people, to the young people nowadays. I think it really has, because I think from 1946, where the movement started, which is the early 60s, I think a lot of it was forgetting it. And I think the Ghana movement has brought it back. A lot of these young people, we even lost it completely. So I really feel proud that I was in the Ghana movement, because it has brought back the Ghana culture, the awareness of our background, culture, and significant spots, that we have a beautiful culture. And it really comes from me, so I think it's important, and this would bring it back to the young kids too. And it's better with that, because I have four grandkids, I have seven, but I have four that understand, and to me, they talk to me about the Kitano zone, Kitano, because they only use Kitano, but they know whether we used to have a culture zone, and they feel really proud of it. Well, I think this is very important, a big part in the, like I said, to me, the drama two levels, keep the culture to the young person, so they know. Because I think a lot of our people, from after the war, I think from the early 20s to 1930, long when the war started, people knew the culture, they knew the language, we all lived in barrios, we just spoke to each other, Spanish speaking. Then the war came, and I think from 1946 when the war ended, the movement, I think a lot of us got pacified and started getting, we were Mexicanos. I think we got satisfied buying a house, buying a car, and we started getting, so we started from the living to the water to them, but we were. And I think the young woman has brought all that back. A lot of our people are after that, their culture. And I think that they really brought it back. So I think bilingual education is definitely really important. That it has to be taught when a little guy is small.
I want to ask you about if you're going to more time with Hazanis, Alexandria. Do you have any strong
feelings
as to why the trouble
started? And the one that's August 24th in Salazar? Well, I was, both my family always goes with me on different marches, and I think we've been in all of them.
Were you there?
And August the 24th, Salazar, I was there. I was associated with the Gondoliers at that time, and I marched with the Gondoliers on that military march. And at that time, there were 20,000 people at that march. And when it started, the 6 mile route was deeper. And a lot of people that were in it were pleased. In fact, there were some newly roads in the march. And I was thinking it was a beautiful thing for Chicanos where they had brought one ethnic group so large, they had brought it at one time, 20,000. But on the way down on the march, we noticed that the cops were sort of harassing the people. And we noticed before the march started that there was over a dozen buses loaded with riot squads. And we noticed there was a lot of, riot cops. And we noticed there wasn't anybody else but us. And there was about 5 helicopters. So I figured it'd be something because people don't have that kind of, risk putting it against people, if you want to call it. I call it that. Because there wasn't going to do nothing. And we marched all the way to the front. And the trouble started first. We had a drill team there, junior boy drill team, and we brought them home. And we sent them home in a bus. And a lot of us had come before the riot started, but the people that I knew that still there and got caught in the riot, explained to me that the small rock going, there was about a few guys, but the cops just started hitting everybody. And we had pictures and the people that were there. And the cops just, I think it was a set up job by the government, it was a state of here, the police department. But definitely, I think it was really set up. And it was far as I was out, to me, it was murderous. I didn't care what anybody said. It was everybody that's a professional soldier or a professional policeman handles that type of weapon, and he says he didn't know what kind of treatment, and he was off his bed. And, everybody didn't keep that type of a weapon in a building that was killed, like he says it was.
Do you feel that this type of thing is inevitable every time Chicano organized to plan something?
Oh, yeah. I think the layman is really, he's really scared to let us organize and really get together, because I think doing what he's been pressing from the black and red side, and then he sees a big majority of black people on the other side, I think it's really weird. And I don't think he'd let us organize. But of course, you don't get changes in this country by doing nice. So, I think, personally, I think the Chicano movement is on its way now, and I think we're peaceful people in a way, but I think with the education that we're getting in some of our students in the university, and I think in a period of a couple of years, and maybe 3 years, and the power of these guys will be coming out of the university, I think we might have to go that way. Because you start pushing people to the back, and you have this education, and we'll have lawyers coming out of this institute, and we have people like the gentleman being aware every day, made aware of what's happening. And the government is seeing it, and then they'll be pressure put on. And Chicanos, eventually will start complaining about how come they don't get benefits. But other, minority groups have gotten in this country, especially one. And we are such a big minority too, we haven't got it. So I think later on, he's going to start complaining, and Chicanos is going to find himself, whether he's a student, whether he's a teacher, whether he's a doctor, whether he's a laborer, he's going to be finding himself pushed against the wall. And I think that's when it's going to go. And I'll take it from another 2-3 years, but I think it'll be done. But I'm not saying violent, but like I say, you don't get nothing done without it. But when you push the man against the wall, there's only one way he can go.
I've noticed that in Santa Barbara, Chicanos can't seem to unite themselves. There's so many different organizations, and it seems like Chicanos fight so much among themselves that it's going to be hard to fight against the thing that's suppressing them. And this is just my observation in Santa Barbara, because I haven't been out of Santa Barbara since I left Sonoma. Do you think that this is universal among Chicanos?
I think that fighting among each other, really, I think they're not really fighting. I think it's just like anything new. The white man did it, he fought among himself. The black man fought himself, he still does once in a while. We're going through a stage of growing up. The Chicano movement is new. Right now it's a rough foundation. And as you said, it's really rough. But everybody's fighting right now. And I don't think it's really fighting like we were. In fact, I think it's early in mind, because if you're talking about fighting, when I was in youth, up to 1940, like I say, maybe tilted off around 46, but how we used to fight each other, kill each other, town to town, man. There's a physical gang. That was fighting. Nowadays it isn't fighting, it's more of a oral type of thing. But everybody's doing something out of it. I've seen most of it here to have a disagreement with the boundaries of the community, but everybody in those organizations are doing something for the next people, the kind of people. So I think what it is, it's just a growing up. And I think out of all this, there were some leaders. We would have moderates.
I think
this fighting, at least with the fighting, I don't think it is, because I think it really fights. And I think what it is, it's just growing up.
Yeah.
All of us, a lot of these young students, well, the thing is, like I said, the older people have to learn to understand the young, and the young people have to learn to understand the old people. So we just have communication, then we got it. And we have a tremendous power. But like I said, in between 1946, it was going to move, most people before they got pacified. But you keep the old timers from 46 back. They'll tell you this guy. Your grandmother, they'll tell you. From 46 to the Chicano movement as it is now, I don't know what happened there. They got pacified with a new car or something, new job. But then the Chicano movement started with the young stuff, and they're doing the job. They're doing jobs a lot of these other people should be doing. And I think maybe there has to be a time now where we have to start embarrassing our own people. We have to start embarrassing them, and it's too bad a lot of times there are close relationships. A lot of them like students, maybe like yourself. A lot of these young kids, like boys, a lot of young kids in NASA or students that spend a lot of those reasons. Sometimes they tell me that they're young, but they're lazy. And these are the guys that are going to be the leaders.
What do you think here in Santa Barbara are some of the most effective organizations, some of the most effective people in the organization? just strongly that any one organization or any one person, you think is really going to be a key towards betterment in Santa Barbara?
I don't think it's the organizations are going to do it. I think it's the people. I think it's going to have to be the people. It's going to say, I see it now. In fact, I've touched a lot of guys that belong to different organizations. If the organization has been the most effective organization, I'd say the bomb's really down in this town. I think they have done more than anybody. They have actually gone and put themselves in the line against the establishment of this community. They have been the most effective in the mess up in the university and the city college mess up than the three organizations that have done. Have opened the opportunities in this town. It hasn't been anybody else.
You think it's the techniques they've used?
I think it's the techniques and the knowledge they have picked up from the schools and the education. Because they have, really. I have, like I said, it's a new learning to build a... If you say, oh, it's something that's an employment scenario, it's a down below, it's a down below, and the method, the university is encouraging with it. And then the general hospital is a Denver, is a Bombay, and then the Metropolitan University is City College. A first office, the Bombay is again. So you see, it's the young people again. And the other one's doing the job. At the 30-year-old family of good, so-called good guy, you know, that says, I want to go to see. Oh, he's gone, but he's way up the door, you know. So you just see, the California City Park, again, is the young person. There's some of the community that did it. It's well, this technique and this learning is really coming. They're the ones going to change it. Even though, you know, he's Chicano has a long story because he had a bad, hard job because he had the Mexican American. So he's going to get some more room. He's the guy doing it now. So this movement is Chicano's vision. I have to move.
And then they're done for nothing, and they're going to have to get a job too, man. And we have to